The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend on this show, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and hopefully have a little bit of fun. I'm your host, Spencer Bowis, and today we'll be discussing Elder Quinton L. Cook's address, Be Peaceable Followers of Christ. For this episode, we've invited a special guest, my stake president, Cordell M. Stake president, please give us a brief introduction about you. And
sure. So the first thing I have to tell you is I'm a rookie as far as podcasts go. I've never done anything like this before. So this is a stretch for me and a little bit of a challenge, but a little bit about myself. I am born and raised in Utah. I grew up in South Ogden. I'm a convert to the church. I joined the church when I was just about 16 years old and was fortunate enough to have some good people who helped me along the way. And when I turned 19, I decided to serve a mission and went on a mission to Micronesia, Guam, and served there for back in the old days, it was 18 months. So I served an 18-month mission in Micronesia, Guam, and came home. And shortly thereafter, met and married my wife, Stephanie. We have 6 boys. I graduated from Weber State University in criminal justice and served a career working for the United States Treasury Department as a special agent. Retired as the special agent in charge of the of our agency in 2018, and so I've been retired now for 5 years.
Wow. Now I remember you saying that you're a convert in our previous discussions, but I didn't know that you were a convert at 16, and then 3 years later you decided to serve a mission.
Yeah.
Wow.
My family had actually pretty strong feelings negative towards the church most of my life. And when I joined, I didn't have a lot of family support. My mother passed away 6 weeks after I was baptized. I didn't have a lot of family support, but my ward was just really great as far as including me and picking me up for church and encouraging me to do the right things. And so the rest of my friends were preparing for missions when we turned 19. And though I didn't know really anybody who'd served a mission, nobody in my family ever had, I respected people who served missions, and it felt like something I ought to be doing. And so I filled out my missionary application, and before I knew it, I had a mission call, and I was in the MTC.
Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. Well, glad to have you on this podcast, and I'm sure you'll do great. You know, I know you're a rookie.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this week's address, we're focusing on Elder Quinton L. Cook's talk, Be Peaceable Followers of Christ. And when I first, I didn't initially hear this address as General Conference was going live because I was sick at the time. So when I was going through and studying and I just saw the title, you know, Be Peaceable Followers of Christ, I was like, oh, perfect. Here's another theme on being a peacemaker. But as I dove into this talk, it's not just about being a peacemaker. It's more about how we can find peace in our lives during whatever trial or situation we may find ourselves. And so I think this is a great talk to have during this time of mortality, because there's a lot of things that are uncertain, but there are a lot of promised blessings and things that we can hope for moving forward. And our church leaders most certainly are optimistic with the future as far as the church is concerned.
Agreed.
So
president. What were your initial thoughts and impressions about this talk?
Well, it was interesting because you asked me to do this. And so I thought, well, I need to dig in and spend more time studying this conference talk. And, you know, I love conference. And so for me, it's become, I don't know, my Super Bowl weekend or my Christmas. I look forward to both times of the year we have it. And so I certainly saw this talk when it was live. But I don't know if other people have this same experience, but because we get those 8 hours so compacted that sometimes at 10 hours actually so compacted that by the time it's over, you don't always remember everything that was said.
Yep.
And so I try and make a concerted effort to always go back and study the conference talks multiple times. And so as you invited me to do this one, I thought, okay, I'll dig in and start doing that one. So I started with that very first sentence that says, we live in a time when peaceable followers of Christ experience unique challenges. And so I started thinking, well, let me start with what's a peaceable follower of Christ. And as I was kind of studying this and pondering it, this happens a lot probably to me and everyone else, but I happen to be kind of finishing up the Book of Mormon because it's the end of 2023. I wanted to start the Book of Mormon again as we start Come Follow Me. So I was kind of finishing up the Book of Mormon, and I got to Moroni 7:3, and I start reading the 7th chapter of Moroni, and I read, wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ. So I heard and jumped back to the talk, and I realized that was in fact exactly where Elder Cook took that phrase from. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's the only place in Scripture we find that phrase, peaceable follower of Christ, is right there in Moroni. So I started kind of pondering, you know, about that and looking at it. And I did what many people do is first I looked for a definition for peaceable. And the dictionary would define peaceable as inclined to avoid argument or violent conflict, or be free from argument or conflict, and then peaceful. So I kind of started there and did a little bit of work there, but then I got back to that scripture again, and I read a little bit further, and it says, again, Moroni says, wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that ye obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth, until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And I have in my digital device, I usually keep Gospel Library open, and I keep several topics open because I find with my church calling, I find myself at the pulpit quite often, contemporaneously, and finding myself speaking about different things. And I open these topics that I really like. And so I already had on my tablet open, I actually had hope and rest opened.
Wow.
So I just keep them there. And so I started studying those, and I just took some of the stuff from it. But when we talk about hope, some of the things that come from gospel topics, it says hope is the confident expectation of and longing of the promised blessings of righteousness. The scriptures often speak of hope as anticipation of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. As we continue to read the gospel topics, it talks about the fact that in our secular world, we use hope differently. We use hope as, because it's winter right now, I hope it snows soon because we need water in the spring. Or I hope, this happens or that happens. But the scriptural definition of hope is actually an assurance of things to come. And so that's one of the reasons I keep that topic open, is I like the fact that gospel-wise, when we start talking about hope, we're really talking about an assurance of things to come, provided we do the things that are necessary for it to come. The second part of that scripture talked about rest, and rest is the same thing. If you look in Guide to the Scriptures, rest is defined as the enjoyment of peace and freedom from worry and turmoil. And then it also says the Lord has promised such rest to his faithful followers during this life. He has also prepared a place of rest for them in the next life. And so I love the idea of rest because our world can sometimes be complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And if we can trust that we have that rest ultimately promised to us forever, but even right now it's promised to us if we are followers of Christ, that we can have that enjoyment from worry and turmoil that sometimes we find ourselves falling into.
Yeah. I going back to that first internet definition you pulled, the peaceable, thinking about how it is to be free of argument. I remember when I was studying President Nelson's talk about peacemakers, how they're needed. And one of the things that jumped out to me is kind of as the Spirit telling me, hey, this is something you gotta work on. As he was going through of what peacemakers don't do or what they should do type of thing. Fault finding was mentioned, and I don't see myself as somebody who intentionally seeks to look for fault in people, but I do find myself looking, because I feel like I'm very growth mindset oriented. I find myself looking to how people can improve versus as seeing it as a fault type of thing. But that is something that I have been working on. And now that you bring up this definition of peace, how it's also free from argument, I can see how those two correlate into how that fault finding leads into, my inner peace, creating arguments that don't go anywhere. They're just in my mind. They're just
right.
That's just how I function. And but it's definitely something that I can see that has prevented me from obtaining some peace. So I'm glad you shared this definition for my own benefit and for the benefit of some of our listeners, that they can also make some connections there. But I also like how you point out the definition for hope in a gospel sense is different from how we use it secularly, where it's that confidence, that assurance that it's going to happen as we do our part. And also for rest, we in my family, we just a week ago, we have a newborn, little baby girl, Kiara, and my wife's getting a lot of rest. However, my other two boys aren't getting a lot of rest. They have coughs, they've been sick, and every night my middle kid wakes up and he wants me to go in his room, and he tosses and turns, and it's been hard for me to find rest. So I think sometimes thinking about, well, where's this rest? Well, the rest that I'm looking for, a little bit different from the rest that's promised of the gospel, which is, in my opinion, a better rest than the rest that I kind of want to seek right now.
Yeah,
some sleep.
Yeah, and sometimes, we get tired, physically tired.
Yeah.
And sometimes, frankly, I think a lot of us become spiritually and emotionally tired. But I think a lot of that can come from the fact that we allow ourselves to focus so much on the things that we worry about, maybe where the world is going, or we have six adult sons. We worry about, our six sons and their households and whether or not the gospel of Jesus Christ is working for them and for our grandkids. But I think that's where that hope and that rest can come into play is that, we can say, well, we have the hope necessary to say we have the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. If we choose to embrace it and we really try and make our best effort to follow those things that the Savior asks us to do, we can have that trust, not just hope, 50-50, but we can have a trust that those things are enough to carry us through challenges in our life. And we'll get further into this. Elder Cook talks about the fact that even with all these things, we're going to have struggles in our life, but it's going to be that hope and that rest, and we could probably have faith. Those are going to be the things that are going to carry us through those challenges.
All right. Well, let's actually go there now. I know in his address, our church leaders are not ignorant to what's going on in the world. They're very aware of all the calamities and trials that God's children are facing. And I know they're praying for us and for all church members. But I know you have a story that you want to share specifically that relates to one of the calamities that Elder Cook mentions in his talk. And so I'll let you do that, and then I'll jump on.
Okay. So just a few paragraphs down, Elder Cook says, whenever trials occur, we mourn and strive to bear one another's burdens. We lament things that will not be accomplished and songs that will not be sung. Bad things happen to good people on this mortal journey. The devastating fires on Maui and Hawaii, southern Chile, and Canada are examples of horrendous events good people sometimes face. So as I was going through this, I saw that phrase, the devastating fires on Maui and Hawaii. It made me start thinking about the fact that earlier this year, my wife and I went with one of our son's family on a vacation to Hawaii, and we actually went to Maui and we stayed in Lahaina. This was in May, so just about 2 months or so before those fires occurred. And we had a great time in Lahaina, and it reminded me of my mission, because I served my mission in the Pacific Islands, and we just really loved it there. But on Sunday, we make a point when we're on vacation to still find a local ward and attend church. And so we had made the decision to go to church on Sunday, and we went there. And I remembered from my mission, there was an elder who was from Maui. And so I thought, what would be the odds that I might run into this person? But as we were visiting that ward, as luck would have it, he was a member of that ward, and we recognized each other, and we got a chance to connect after 30 years of not seeing each other. We got a chance to connect and visit for a few minutes, and it was really awesome. Well, fast forward 2 months, we're at home, and all of a sudden they start talking about these devastating fires in Lahaina, and we were concerned about all of the people there in Maui, but particularly now I had this friend I reconnected with. And so I jumped on social media and messaged him. And I just said, I went back and found our conversation, but I said, I hate that I am writing this message, but I wanted you to know that our family is thinking of you and your family. We will be praying for all of you in Maui. And the fires were still raging when I sent this, and about, I don't know, 20 hours later or so, he responded and he said, thank you, brother. Never seen it like this ever. Many homes burned, bodies found on the streets burned. We just kept running and running. Our family had a prayer to protect our family and home. Heard from people that our home burned down, only to find not only my home, but our entire village saved. My Heavenly Father truly heard our prayers. And I thought it was really awesome as I went back and reread it, preparing for this, to focus on the fact that these really devastating things were happening to his community, to his ward family, to everything around him. But even in spite of all that, one, they remembered to pray and ask Heavenly Father for help as it was happening. And then secondly, he had that hope necessary to look and say, even though these bad things have happened, Heavenly Father remembered my family and he answered our prayers. And I just think that's a really good example of when we're going through devastation, we can still see God's hand in it and see how he's propping us up if we look for it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. That's amazing. And what a testimony builder to that village of people whose homes are saved. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit later on, Elder Cook talks about a scripture. He says, we read in the Pearl of Great Price that the Lord revealed to Abraham the eternal nature of spirits. Abraham learned of our pre-earth life, ordination, the creation, the choosing of a redeemer, and this mortal life, which is a second estate of man. The Redeemer declared, we will make an earth whereon these may dwell, and we will prove them herewith to see if they will do all the things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. Talking about all, you know, the trials and things that we experience here on earth. I remember as a young adult, thinking like, holy crap, I have a wife that I have to provide for and support. And, you know, we're having a child and I got to figure out how to be a dad. Hey, wait, what's this? I have to get life insurance now. There's home insurance. There's all these types of insurance I started learning about. And I easily became overwhelmed and started to shut down. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And this doesn't compare to, you know, what your friend went through with their village and the fires of Maui. This is just my personal connection here. But as we start to focus on all these little things, I think in the world of, you know, how we can obtain success or what things need to be done on a day-to-day basis, it can be easy to lose focus of this scripture that talks about, you know, our purpose here on earth is to see if we can follow God's commandments. And I think as we zoom out of all the daily things, tasks, trials, devastations that we're going through, and it can be hard to zoom out. But as we do take the time to zoom out and focus on, all right, what is God's plan? What do I need to do? It becomes easier to find that peace and joy that is talked about in this talk and promised as we live the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's just so much we can focus on that doesn't bring those things, the peace and joy. But as we zoom out to focus on those things that we need to do to increase our relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ, those things is what brings us peace and joy.
So I think that's interesting what you just were talking about with challenges in our lives and things like that. I've been thinking over the last several days that many of the challenges that come into our life, they just happen to us and there's nothing that we can do to stop them. So in those cases, what we have to do is we have to be prepared to say, I'm going to work through this with my faith and I'm going to let God help me through it, as opposed to becoming discouraged. But there are sometimes we bring challenges into our own lives because of bad decision. And so because of some events I was going through earlier this week, I found myself focusing on the fact and talking to a person about the fact that we can sometimes make our life a lot easier by focusing in on every one of those decisions we have to make and making those individual decisions. If we can make them correctly, then we stop things from compounding to where it becomes very challenging in our life. As I sit here and think about this, I think of President Nelson's talk at the end of this conference where he invites us to think celestially. And I think if we'll think celestially about the decisions we're making, then we can minimize the number of tragedies that come into our life because we won't have to go through as many self-inflicted challenges. We still have the other ones we have to go through, but I think that's one way to remove some of the chaos from our life is to follow the prophet's admonition to think celestially on every decision that we can.
Yeah. That also reminds me of a story. It's from, I believe, 2020, April General Conference of 2020. President Nelson shares a story of where I think it's one of his granddaughters. It's going through some hard times with her testimony. And on top of that, her father's not doing well. And so she comes to Wendy Nelson asking, you know, President Nelson could give her some advice. And the advice that she got back was myopic.
Yeah.
How is it? Myopic?
Myopic.
Myopic. Yeah. And her father passes away. And anyway, as she's reflecting on that response that she got, you know, hoping for something, you know, like a miracle or something better from her grandfather's the president of the church, she actually gains more insight of how, you know, when we're nearsighted, myopic, that life is just, it's harder. And as we zoom out to see the blessings, the hand of the Lord, right, First off in our lives, right? As we take the time to zoom out and focus on the plan of salvation. And that's mentioned throughout this talk, you know, the plan of salvation and how we're not coming into it without the knowledge It's a three-act play, right? So we're not coming into act three without the prior knowledge of, you know, where we were before this earth, a pre-mortal existence, and why we're here on earth, then what we can obtain after. As we focus on that, and I remember coming home from my mission, you know, it was just so easy to have that eternal perspective, to think celestial. You know, something would happen, and I knew it would irritate me had it been prior to my mission, but something would happen, and I'd be like, it doesn't matter in the long term. Like, you know, we got eternity, things are going to work out type of thing. And sadly, I've regressed from that. But it's something that I'm consciously working towards, again, is just having that eternal perspective, because it changes the way I view the relationships that I have with people, or the little occurrences that I could find fault with. And, you know, instead I can become a peacemaker and just have peace in my life, and hopefully extend peace to others.
So that's interesting. One of the awesome things I get to do in my church calling is I get to set missionaries apart and send them out in the world. And then 2 years later, I get to see them come back and interview them before I release them. And one of the things I talk often about with the missionaries as I'm prepared to release them is I remind them that they've created all these awesome habits on their mission. And I warn them, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge to keep those as you come back into the world and you have school and work and socializing and all these things that start to take your time. But I try and get them to commit to keeping those habits that they've created, at least make sure that they're reading the scriptures every day, make sure they're saying their prayers, try and focus on the different Christ-like attributes that they studied, because those things become crucial for us as we're trying to find our way through a much more chaotic world than sometimes the missionaries have.
Yeah. And that, you know, we're coming up on, well, at the time this episode will air, it'll be the new year, and people are always focusing in on, you know, how they can improve or things they want to achieve during the year. And I've already started trying to figure out what that is going to look like for me. And I'm focusing more on, I'm taking, instead of a goal approach, I'm phrasing it as, you know, my relationships with fitness or with running or with my kids or with my wife. And, you know, for my relationship with God, I've really, yeah, I'm sure people do this every year, and I've done it multiple years, but I'm really trying to focus in on those little things of, you know, a Christ-like attribute that I need to focus on, but also the daily prayer and the daily scripture study, because those things truly are what invite Christ into our life, who is the King of Peace. It's going to help us be more of a peacemaker and just think celestial, think in the way that he wants. But I would encourage our listeners, if they haven't already, to, you know, maybe think about how they want to change their relationships with God going into this new year.
So I like what you're saying about focusing on your relationships and things like that. You may or may not know that in 2024, our state goals, we've put together some that we're going to encourage our members to participate in. And one of them says, I will improve my relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ by. And what we do in our stake is we put that out there, and then we invite members to figure out what they're going to do to do that. And our hope is that by us not setting the specific goal for the members, they'll be self-directed to do those things on their own. And so, you know, I got an advanced preview of what we are searching for. And so I've been thinking about that one on my own. And I've decided for me, I will improve my relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ by. What I've decided is for the year 2024, I'm going to go through, preach my gospel, look at those attributes of Christ that are preaching my gospel, and I'm going to take one a month, and I'm going to study just that one attribute of Christ and see what I can see in the scriptures as I'm studying that. And then hopefully, most importantly, see if I can't do a better job of emulating that attribute for an entire month, with the hope that by the time I move on to the next attribute, that one will be part of my nature. And so I'm hoping that I can use that to grow closer to Christ and become hopefully a more peaceable follower of him by learning more about him and trying to act as he would have me act.
Right. When you served your mission, did they have preached my gospel yet?
Not
today, you.
My kids would say, "Dad, you're ancient."
Okay.
And so we did not have preach my gospel at the time. We had moved past the memorized discussions that you hear some people talk about. When I was in the MTC, we had those, but throughout the course of my mission, we went to discussions that were more free-flowing. We had principles that we had to teach, but they were more free-flowing, but we didn't have preach my gospel.
Okay. I just think it's funny that we keep finding ourselves, you know, mentioning the mission or missionary work as we're talking about being peaceable followers of Christ. That reminds me in the talk, Quinnell Cook says, peaceable followers of Christ do not follow either path. We are warm, engaged members of the communities where we live. We love, share, and invite all of God's children to follow Christ's teachings. There's a footnote there, if you jump to the footnote. It says, missionaries return home with a love for the people they have served and taught. They are true ambassadors spreading goodwill for the people in whose countries they have lived and worked. They are not concerned with income levels and no racial bias. They are not out to build any worldly kingdoms. They are, in the words of Mormon, the peaceable followers of Christ. Reflecting back to my mission, I just remember, yeah, it was hard. There's times where I just wanted to go home. But I got to the point in my mission where, you know, after I got through the homesickness, feeling chunky, that I really just felt for the people that I was serving. I remember one specific day I was walking around with me and my companion, and I just, you know, saw so much, so much sin going on around me in the neighborhood you're walking, and I just felt sorrow for all of God's children that were there. And I know there's something about having that opportunity as a missionary to go and just be an ambassador for the Lord and share his love, share his word with people, that it doesn't compare with anything else that I've done yet in my life as far as church callings. But I can truly say that as I was a missionary, there is peace despite the trials. And the trials that I was facing was more of, how can I get these people to follow Jesus Christ? It wasn't any of these other trials that were devastating, such as a fire or, you know, financial crisis. It's more, how can I help these people feel Christ's love in their lives?
And it's cool when you get the opportunity to be intimately involved with somebody who all of a sudden starts to find Christ and wants to learn more about it, and you get to be a participant as you watch them sometimes make really hard choices to change their life and come more in line with what God would have them do. But that's really the essence of probably almost everything we do is, you know, hopefully what we're doing. And even in this podcast, what we're trying to do is we're trying to spread the word in a way that we can alleviate some of that pain and suffering from people. Because I think if we knew that we are children of God, and if we know who Christ is and what Christ has done for us, then inherently that's going to help us find our way through, again, difficult challenges that we all find ourselves going through from time to time.
All right. In the talk later on, let me ask you this. Before you were converted to the church, I know you had relationships with the church, your family background, but did you ever find yourself, you know, thinking like, oh, I'm suffering this trial because, you know, I'm not following God, or I'm not doing as well as I should, type of thing?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever did, but certainly we hear people say that all the time, that God is punishing me. And so, you know, this is happening because God's punishing me. And that's one of the things I love about the gospel is that it changes our perspective to understand our relationship with God. And we start to find out that God loves us. And so, you know, similar to you, and your kids now, you might sometimes let them suffer the consequences of their decision, but it's not because you hate them. It's because you love them and that you're trying to work with them in a way to help develop in them and help them become the person that you want them to become so that they're, you know, good, loving, productive citizens. And that's what I think God feels about us, just much more intensely. And so he's not punishing us because he hates us. He's working with us because he loves us.
Yeah. That just yesterday, my oldest, Kyron, he's 4. He was hungry. It was lunchtime. And he is fully capable of making his own lunch. We've taught him. And I told him, I said, all right, you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? You got to make it. You got to get the bread down. I can help you if you ever need it. But you got to get the peanut butter. You got to get a knife to spread the peanut butter. He likes bananas on it too. So you get a banana, I'll help you chop it. And for an hour, it was nothing but, you don't like me. I'm hungry. And it's okay, but I can help you, but you gotta help yourself, everything. And that's a hard love.
Yes.
But I'm doing it because I know he can do these things and I just want him to be more successful, more independent. But he always knows, and I always reassure him that, hey, if you need help, I am here, but I'm not doing it all for you. So it's funny relate that back to my kids.
Well, and it's interesting because I had this conversation yesterday with my in-laws. My in-laws are serving a full-time mission right now in their stake. And as they were leaving, we started talking about this, but my father-in-law mentioned that my mother-in-law was very stressed when they were called to serve this mission. And she just told him, she said, I am not capable of doing these things. I can't go out and work with and meet with people, and I can't preach the gospel. I don't know it well enough, and I'm not smart enough. But my father-in-law said, you should have heard her yesterday in district meeting. The talk she gave, along with the other full-time missionaries, and the insights that she shared with these young missionaries. And so we talked about the fact that isn't it interesting how we sometimes sell ourselves short and we don't think we're capable of things, but God is always looking for ways to help us develop and help us discover our own potentials. And sometimes that's done by taking us and putting us in situations that we don't think we can do, maybe very, very well. Maybe your son didn't think he was capable of making a sandwich, but you did him a great service by inviting him to do it on his own, even if it took an hour, because he will have walked away from that now knowing that's one more thing he's capable of doing.
Yeah. And the sandwich he made, it wasn't pretty, but he sure loved it and ate the whole thing.
That's cool, right?
Yeah. That reminds me of later on in the talk, Quentin L. Cook says, clearly our heavenly destiny is not altered when we suffer adversity, which is very reassuring because adversity is inevitable in our mortality. And he continues saying, in Hebrews, we are counseled to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That scripture right there reminds me of another story President Nelson shared. This one's from April 2018 from his address titled Ministering with the Power of Authority of God. It says, not long ago, I attended a sacrament meeting in which a new baby was to be given a name and a father's blessing. The young father held his precious infant in his arms, gave her a name, and then offered a beautiful prayer. But he did not give that child a blessing. That sweet baby girl got a name, but no blessing. That dear elder did not know the difference between a prayer and a priesthood blessing. With his priesthood authority and power, he could have blessed his infant, but he did not. I thought, what a missed opportunity. And he continues saying, "Brethren, we hold the holy priesthood of God. We have his authority to bless his people. Just think of the remarkable assurance the Lord gave us when he said, 'Whomsoever you bless, I will bless.' It is our privilege to act in the name of Jesus Christ to bless God's children according to his will for them. Stake presidents and bishops, please ensure that every member of the quorums within your stewardship understands how to give a priesthood blessing, including the personal worthiness and spiritual preparation required to call fully upon the power of God."
Yeah.
Right. This coming to the throne of grace, approaching that we may obtain mercy. As a young father, I find myself relating to my Heavenly Father a lot more easily now. In the sense that I see my kids and I know that I am, you know, a child of God, that with my kids, they approach me. Yeah, sometimes it's a hard no, but more often than not, I'm trying to figure out how to help them, how to make whatever they're asking me happen. And I think this is a great reminder here that our Heavenly Father does love us. We can approach him just like your friend in Maui, right? They said a prayer asking for protection on their home, and their whole village is protected. I think we need to have more hope, and the hope in the gospel sense, where we can have that confidence to approach our Heavenly Father with the hope and ask for specific blessings. I know that ever since I've heard this address by President Nelson, I've made it an effort to try to do more blessing and ask for those blessings. And I know my Heavenly Father has provided those for me. And I go with confidence in prayer or when I'm giving a blessing, because I know he is a father, and whoever I'm giving a blessing to or whatever I'm asking is for one of his children. And he loves them, and he wants to provide what he can for them.
Yeah. And I love that teaching too. Couple things that I think about when you shared that is, one, when I give people blessings, particularly in relation to setting them apart, because I try and really focus on blessing them with those things, because I know President Nelson taught that you know, it's not a time really for us to give people advice and encouragement while we have our hands on their head, but we should be blessing them with the things that they need. So I really focus on that with missionaries as I set them apart, because they're going out, you know, to a strange land for them for 2 years. And I want to make sure I equip them with the most things I can. But if I'm not mistaken, that quote also kind of in that same area, but that talk, President Nelson makes the suggestion that maybe we don't seek out to get blessings as often as we could or should. And so I used a quote from that talk last year as we did our ward conferences. And I spoke to the relief societies, usually just a few closing remarks at the end of relief society. And one of the things I encouraged them to do was, if they had a priesthood holder in the home, to go home and to ask that priesthood holder to give them a priesthood blessing. And if they don't have a priesthood holder in the home, to find their ministering brother or someone else they trust and ask them to get a blessing, because I think too often we have that available to us and we don't take advantage of it like we could.
Yeah. And going back to tying this all back into the talk is just, as we go through trials and adversities or whatever it may be, we can have confidence, that hope, that we can go to our Father in heaven and he will bless us despite the trials. And it might not always be in the way that we're hoping for, but we can at the very least know that he's aware of us and that he loves us. And that at the end of our mortal life, as long as we keep our end of the bargain, keep our covenants with him, we can find that eternal rest,
right,
that joy. So we're getting towards the end of our discussion for this episode. President, is there anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to close with one last part that Elder Cook shared, and it actually comes from Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, I think, if I remember it right. Section 6, verses 34 through 37 is kind of where he gets, but he talks about promises that the Lord made to the early saints. And he says, the Lord says, "Fear not, little flock, do good. Let earth and hell combine against you. For if ye are built upon my rock, they cannot prevail. And I love this scripture because about 6 or 7 years ago, my wife was studying the Doctrine and Covenants, and she found this scripture, and she really attached herself to it, I think in part because it says little flock and our last name is Lamb. But she made the decision that she was going to make a wooden plaque for each of our kids to put in their homes. And so these wooden plaques say, "Fear not, little flock." And then it has the scriptural reference there. But as I was studying this and looking at it and looking at the awesome promises that the Lord made not only to those saints, but to us as well. And he says, "Look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not." And so, you know, those are things that the Lord extends to us as well, that if we'll look unto him, if we'll doubt not, if we'll fear not, if we'll build ourselves upon him, then we can trust that even sometimes when we feel the world is caving in around us, that he's going to save us because he's given us the tools that are necessary for us to navigate our way through here. And in the end, we know what's available to us, that there's exaltation is available to each of us if we just choose that that's what we want to have, and we make those individual decisions as we think celestially to do those things. And so I just love this teaching, as well as I love just that broader idea of faith, hope, and rest.
You share that scripture from Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, says, "Look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not." I'm reminded of Peter walking out on the waters. Peter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Peter walking out on the water to Jesus. And, you know, he has that faith to take those initial steps and to go towards Christ. And, you know, as he starts to focus on all that's going on around him, takes his eye off of Christ, his focus, he starts to sink, but Christ comes, he lifts him up. And, you know, I think that it applies to us. We need to focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ, the eternal plan of salvation that our Father in heaven has prepared for us. As we take the time to zoom out, not have that myopic view of our trials and tragedies that we're going through, to focus on our Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to be able to find that peace. But also to close out, just for funsies, I took this talk and threw it into ChatGPT. Mm. I asked it to, define what a peaceable follower of Christ is or does. And it came up with 10 things, and I just want to share those things. And I've heard things about ChatGPT or using AI, don't do it for talks and stuff, was the recommendation I got. But I also know that it's probably easier for Heavenly Father to influence a machine versus a human being. Anyway, the first thing that it says is that peaceful follower Christ endures through trials. As peaceful followers acknowledge that trials, adversities, and losses are part of life, they mourn, bear one another's burdens, and strive to maintain faith during difficult times. 2, they live Christ's teachings. Peaceable followers actively strive to live Christ's teachings and commandments. They resist the temptation to adopt a hedonistic or, I don't know these words, nihilistic approach to life.
Yes, sir.
3, community engagement. They are warm and engaged members of their communities, actively loving, sharing, and inviting others to follow Christ's teachings. 4, they're peacemakers. Following the counsel of church leaders, peaceable followers actively choose the role of peacemakers in their interactions with others. 5, they focus on Jesus Christ. In times of trial, they focus on the Savior, relying on his atonement for strength, hope, and healing. 6, understand adversity. Peaceable followers understand that adversity can be a source of experience and ultimately for their good. They draw inspiration from the example of the prophet Joseph Smith in Liberty Jail. 7, they trust in God's plan. They trust in a loving Father in heaven who knows and loves them personally. They believe in the eternal plan of happiness, including the potential for eternal life and glorious reunion with loved ones. 8, preparation and protection. They heed the words of prophets, prepare for challenges, and recognize the importance of immediate and future actions guided by divine counsel. 9. Joy and thanksgiving. Incorporate praise, music, dancing, and prayers of praise and thanksgiving into their lives, maintaining joy and calling on the Lord in supplication can contribute to their peaceful walk with Christ. 10. Cheerfulness. Striving always to be of good cheer is emphasized, recognizing that earth's sorrows can be healed through heavenly help. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discuss Quentin L. Cook's address, Be Peaceable Followers of Christ. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org. Conferencetalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your hosts. If you want to follow me, Spencer Bowis, you can find me at papa.bowis on Instagram. And if you need that spelled, it's B-O-U-W-H-U-I-S. Big thanks to our guest, President Cordell Lamb, for joining us today. While we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves. And remember, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions. Join us next week for some more personal opinions. Next week on the Conference Talk Podcast.